pulling out the coupe at the lot. Told him 12 SWAT, buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a lick with the box. Had to put the stick.
Hi, I'm Brian from Olathe, Kansas, and you're listening to WGXC Akron 90.7 FM.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes as Arturo Farrell, DJ Logic, and the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra mix it up in Cuba. Three-quarter piece makes a jazzy, diplomatic overture, and the Entrio takes a long acoustic holiday. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465. For more information, Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. And, well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who'll take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
Radio listeners, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Tracy, and I'm the program director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Ghent.
I am Lena, and I am from Hudson.
I'm Fatih, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
So who wants to go first?
Can I go first?
Definitely.
So this is a book about a bread. It's a really nice book. Eat Bread. Story by Joy. I don't know that word.
Do you want to spell it?
Yeah, it's C-O-W-L-E-Y.
Cowley, maybe?
Cowley. Mom said to the twins, go and get the bread. The twins got the bread. They saw a hungry dog. Have some bread, they said. They saw a hungry duck. Have some bread, they said. They saw a hungry rooster. Have some bread, they said. They saw a hungry goat. Have some bread, they said. Mom said, where is the rest of the bread? Dad said, here it is. And that's a picture. And that's the end.
That's great. What do you like about that book?
I like the book because the twins are so kind and responsible.
They are really generous in that story.
Mm-hmm. And they have some bread up there, I think. And that's the story.
Nice. I have a question for all of you. Actually, it's a two-part question. I want to know, one, who is your favorite author? And two, if you could ask that author one question, what would it be?
Wait, so are you asking this to all of us or like?
Yeah, I want each of you to answer.
Oh.
I'm asking you, but I don't really have a favorite author, at least not an all-time favorite author. So it's a tough question. But I'm currently deeply involved in a love affair with Octavia Butler's work. And if I could ask her one question, I think I might like to know how many drafts she has to go through before she considers a story finished, because they're just so rich. And I have to imagine that the first draft was something else completely. And I think it would be really encouraging as an artist and a writer myself to see like a really cruddy first draft of something that ended up great. But her first drafts are probably pure gold, so who knows?
I've got to say Shannon Hale, maybe, like, currently. And wide ask her is, do you want to go get ice cream with me so I can ask you more questions? I'm that kind of person. I don't do one question.
This is the ultimate genie trick.
I feel like I'd probably do Raina Telgemeier, who is the author of Smile and Guts and many more books.
I almost did Raina.
And so I'd probably ask her, like, how she, I don't know what I'd ask her, but I'd probably be like, what compelled you to write this book? Yeah, like, what compelled her to be a writer?
That's a really good question.
Baker is my favorite author because he made the Peppa Pig story.
Oh, yeah, Peppa Pig is great. What would you ask him?
How did he make Peppa Pig?
Like, how did he come up with the idea for the character?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to know.
I love Peppa Pig. It's so nice. I remember when we went to England, my little sister, I think, like, since we were in England, we could mostly just get, like, Peppa Pig. So my little sister just watched Peppa Pig all day.
Yeah, she's so popular, Peppa.
Also, since we were in England, our phones probably, my parents' phones probably only able to watch English TV shows. Probably, unless they use something that can like rig their location. There is something, but such thing, but they didn't. I don't know if they used it. Anyways, yeah. I please share my book last?
Sure.
I guess it's my turn. And the book that I'm going to be sharing is Literally Disturbed 2, More Tales to Keep You Up at Night by Ben H. Winters, illustrated by Adam F. Watkins. And it's basically just like a bunch of disturbing like poems, I guess, mashed into one book. And I don't really like this book because it's very disturbing, but I guess one of my favorites would probably be the nasty little fairies poem. And I'm not going to read it to you, but yeah. Okay, I looked at the back and there's a very disturbing picture. This is one of the reasons why I don't like this book.
What's nasty little fairies? What's that about?
Can I just read it to you? Because I'm not good at explaining stuff.
Is it radio appropriate?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Nasty little fairies. You think I broke the dishwasher by loading it with rocks? You think I went around the house unplugging all the clocks? You think I snuck into Wendy's room and let loose her pet frog? You think I shaved the words "I am a cat" on into the neighbor's dog? Geez, Dad, one awful accusation. Boy, Mom, what a wild imagination. It's clear that we have fairies, little nasty fairies. Surely that's the logical explanation. And there's like a picture of all of the stuff that happened together.
They're so mischievous.
Yeah, they are.
Do you think the boy, was it a boy? Do you think the boy is just blaming things on fairies?
I think it could be that the boy is blaming the things on the fairies. But then again, when I think about it, it could be that there are actually fairies or someone else is like blaming it on him. Because, I'm pretty sure he is the eldest. And I have the theory of whenever you're the oldest in the family, you usually get blamed for it because they don't think it could be the youngest, usually.
The youngest gets away with everything.
Yeah, but, like, sometimes they don't, because sometimes it's either you blame it on the oldest or the youngest. Or the parents are blaming it on anyone but themselves. So, yeah. It could be that.
Ideal to be the middle child, is what you're saying.
it's ideal to the middle child. My brother just came out, and he's over here like, yeah. And he's the middle child. So, yeah.
Well, for me lately, I've been thinking a lot about how visual arts and music are used to tell stories in text. So I thought it would be fun to share an example of a book that, in my opinion, used those additional senses to enhance the story. So I thought of Renee Watson's Piecing Me Together. It's this amazing, rhythmically written story about Jade, who is this young Black girl from a poor neighborhood who attends a nearly all-white, super-privileged school in a richer part of town. Because she exists in these two contested universes, she struggles to understand her true identity, but ultimately she uses her art to help her find her own voice. So in the story, she creates these incredible collages using tiny bits and pieces of things that she finds around her house and in town to build detailed scenes that illustrate her experiences and her observations, some of her family history. And when I was reading it, the way that the author used language to describe these images was really powerful. The collages were just popping off of the page. It was immersive, and it's what I most appreciated about that book. Anybody else have any stories like that that they enjoy? When you feel like you can see what the words are describing?
Well, I have two of them. One of them is my absolute favorite book, which is called Get Ready, because it's a really long title. The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making. That one is really descriptive and nice. Also, another is, I'm reading it right now, the Young Rears edition of Becoming, and I will probably share that in the future when I finish it. It's 400 pages long, so I've crushed about like 70, so I have about 330 left to go. So just warning you, might be a while.
Well, get weekly,
so I've got time. And anyways, every day I just go outside, sit in my egg-shaped swing for an hour and read.
Nice. What kind of imagery does Becoming use to tell the story? I haven't read that yet.
Well, it's a biography. No, autobiography. It's by Michelle Obama. It's her autobiography, and she just... It's a personal narrative, so she really describes it well because she's been in there so she can feel.
I read about Michelle Obama before.
That's great. Lena, did you have another book you wanted to share this week?
I don't have another book that I want to say,
George. George, did
you? Okay. I am now prepared. Okay, so I thought I'd share a book. Well, technically a cookbook. I just read all of her cookbooks cover to cover because they're so amazing. Once I tried to make the cake truffles in this cookbook, it took me and my mom 6 hours. Though it was almost worth it. It was pretty much worth it because the cake truffles are so good. It's birthday cake. It's, you bake birthday cake, ball it, cover it in birthday sand, which is like the dry ingredients of a birthday cake mixed together with sprinkles, blended, food processed, covered in milk chocolate. So it's like birthday cake covered in milk chocolate rolled in birthday sand.
Wow.
It's so good. But anyways, so it's called All About Cake. It is by Christina Tozzi. I am obsessed with baking, so she is my idol. She inspired me to bake. She owns these bakeries in New York City called Mamafuku Milk Bar, but most people just call it Milk Bar for short. And they have really amazing things there, and they make the cake truffles gluten-free. You can get them gluten-free, so I'm a big fan of that. They're all over New York City, and Christina Tozzi is also a judge on MasterChef Junior, and this book is called All About Cake. The recipes are completely mouthwatering. The cover is really cool because it's against black, so it looks like it's vibrant or something made with special material, but really it's just like regular colors. And so here this is. It's got pink and yellow truffles, which are really mouthwatering. And it's just got many recipes. And partly what I love so much about Christina Tozzi is that she is like a kid adult. Like in this, one of the foes has her in overalls doing jump rope. And partly what I love about her so much is she's like a kid. Like I said, she's like the maturity of adult, but also she has that like fun, big energy like a kid. And so when she is a kid, she really didn't like cake. She just eat the frosting because she found the cake boring. As she says in the book, I sat down and considered the things that bummed me out about cake. Cake flavors are dull and boring. Cake is usually overbaked to make it sturdy enough to be layered or topped. Cake is usually just one soft, spongy bite. Why take the time to make a cake so beautiful on the outside? It's just snooze-fest when you bite in. And so there's really good photography in this book. It's really perfect. It really captures the desserts well. And she has this, like, several, like, how many pages is it? She has about 30 pages that she does on how to prepare and, like, herself. It's really awesome. She has so many recipes in here. This is one that looks so mouthwatering. It's a cherry cola bundt cake. For radio listeners, it looks really good. I've never tried it because, you know, Coca-Cola. I'm only a kid, so can't have too much Coca-Cola in one.
Do you agree?
It calls for a lot of cola, but it looks really good. It's like a brown bundt cake. If people are wondering, it's a cake that is shaped like a donut. It just has like curves on each, at like curve, all the around. It looks like a donut with fancy like molding, but it's actually the size of a cake. And so it's a bundt cake with a pink drizzle all over it with mini gummy Coca-Cola balls around it, which looks really good. And here is the recipe that I made. Let's see where it is.
There we go. I have a question.
Yes.
Do you agree with the author that cake is generally bad?
What'd you say?
Do you agree with the author that cake is generally bad?
No.
There's no bad cake in your book. Not that book. I mean, the Book of Georgia.
There could be a bad cake. Like Christia Tozzi said, sometimes bakers spend so much time on the outside that they're just like, whatever about the inside. And what I go for is perfection on the outside and perfection on the inside. See, cake baking is a mix of science and art. First, you've got to focus on the science, what makes the cake taste so good, and gotta work on perfecting the flavor, and then you can think about the outside. I would like a cake a lot more if it was like looked like a pile of puke and tasted like the best thing in the world than something that looks like the world's best decorated cake ever but tasted like puke. I'd much rather have the first one. Usually I like it to be cakes to be fancy, but when it comes down to the last bit, taste matters the most.
Well, thank you, Georgia. We are just about out of time for today. I hope everyone out there listening has a good week filled with quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about more books. Until then,
bye.
Happy reading.
Happy reading,
guys.
Happy reading. Read about bookish things.
That your soul can cash. Even in a suit and tie, gentlemen, you murder, you civilized. You thought the summer never said it. Check your soul. You thought the summer never said it. Check your soul. Did your mind write a check that your soul can cash? Check your soul. Even in a suit and tie, gentlemen, you murder, think you civilized. You
You thought the sun would never set.
Check your soul.
You thought the sun would never set.
Check your soul.
Just thieves in a suit and tie. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Just thieves in a suit and tie.
You are